नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीचैतन्यचरितामृत आदिलीला चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 11 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय This chapter describes some of the reasons for the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. One of the reasons for his appearance is manifest here, just in the fact that we're having this class at all. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute love of Krishna even to those who are not normally considered suitable candidates. If we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam or Hari Bhakti Vilas, what are some of the qualifications to become a disciple, not even a guru, just to become a disciple of a bona fide guru, then the qualifications are so demanding that under normal circumstances we wouldn't be considered fit even to begin chanting Hare Krishna. We see when the Western devotees of Krishna came to India with Srila Prabhupada, many people, they thought this is not possible. They even protested that, what are you doing wearing these clothes? They would, in the streets, you can't be a sadhu. You, if you like, you go back to your country and maybe next life you can be born in India. But then you would have to, because you're coming from the Western countries, you'd have to be born in the lowest possible. Then just by seeing the Brahmins from time to time for a few lifetimes, then you might get born in a Vaishya family, then in a, maybe after some time Kshatriya family, then after some time Brahmin family, then you might be able to worship Krishna and go back to God. Even some Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya. So how to get delivered? What is the method? You have to be born in a Madhva Brahmin family. Then it's possible. Otherwise not. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to break open the storehouse of love of God. Patra patra picha nahe maheshtanastan je jaha pai tarideya prema dhan. Without considering who is fit or not fit, because if you start to consider in this age who is fit or not fit, then you'll come to the conclusion no one's fit. So Lord Chaitanya, you'll just have to go back again. Oh, I came to give love of God. No one's fit. All right, I'm going back. But we see that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi, he said, he gave love of Krishna even to the most disqualified, the Mayavadis, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. They're all offenders. These are the least likely people to become Krishna conscious. That Prabhupada in one purport noted that the Mayavadis, they won't chant the name of Krishna. In the Western countries, meat eaters, gamblers, woman hunters, takers of intoxicants, they may chant Hare Krishna more easily than a staunch Mayavadi. So they are better, even though they don't follow any regulated principles, because they're willing to chant the name of Krishna. They're spiritually better off than those who, even they may follow many regulated principles, but they don't like to chant Hare Krishna. They're envious of Krishna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi, he found staunch opposition in the form of Mayavadis. But anyway, he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Pashu Pakhi Jore Pashana Vidare Shuni Jara Gunagata. Just by hearing his qualities, even the stones will melt and the animals and birds will cry. So even the stone-hearted Mayavadis, they also became Krishna conscious. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was joking that, I brought a heavy load. I brought my goods as a traveling merchant. I brought my goods to this Varanasi, but I couldn't find anyone who is willing to purchase. So anyway, I gave them away free. So Mayavadi is not at all qualified, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made them qualified. He saw, what is little qualification? That they are very proud, but when he was behaving very humbly with them, they became a little bit touched by that. Then he showed his opulence, demonstrated his opulence. Then the Mayavadis, they were respectful to him. Still they challenged him. Then there was just, but they thought, well, he's not just an ordinary person. So they didn't, in the beginning they weren't even willing to discuss, they just wanted to chastise him. When they discussed, he defeated them and they came around to his point. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he's doing is the most amazing thing, that he's giving love of Krishna, even that is described by Lord Chandrasekhar Thakur as Brahma Radurlabha Prem, that even Lord Brahma, who is the topmost Brahmin in the universe, highly intelligent, favored by Krishna, even for him, it's very difficult to imagine how he can get love of Krishna to the standard which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. But that love of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving freely. The concept of worship of God, that is prevalent in human society, everywhere we see, even in the modern age. Throughout the world, those who are more civilized, they have some kind of faith in God, although mostly they don't have a very clear idea of God. So they have some idea, they say, yes, we should love God, but what kind of love of God, that is described here in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, as mostly it is vitta bhakti, means crippled concept of devotion. Crippled in the sense that Krishna, Krishna, we understand from this, from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya especially, that he is a person, not just an idea or a concept, and not just an official person, just like you go in the office, government office, you see there's a person behind the desk, but they're acting in an official capacity. So they might be friendly, but more or less they're official, because they have official business to do. So mostly people's concept of God is like that. Official concept. So that is correct. Krishna, he is the creator, maintainer, destroyer of the worlds. But he's also not just an official. He's a person. Just like the official who's behind the desk in the government office, when they go home, they may be laughing and joking with their children or with their husband or wife. They're a person. They're not just doing an official job. Please fill up this form. But they're a person. And just as we have feelings, emotions, desires, likes, dislikes, so God also has. And just like we have friends and father, mother, children, so God also has. That all the different relationships, servants, those different relationships are there, but in Krishna, those relationships, they are, here's what is given, Chari, Rush means, Ras means full of sweetness, full of transcendental pleasure. Prabhupada describes in the Nectar of Devotion that this word ras actually is very difficult to translate into English. English is, this language wasn't developed for developing love of God. It was developed for hitting people over the head, and then later became more developed. We have our Shakespeare's and our Dickens and our Wordsworths. But we don't have Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Now Prabhupada has translated. But the word ras, what exactly that means, is very difficult to explain in English, but Prabhupada has said that as my spiritual master translated this as mellow, he's also translating that. So this means feeling, relationship, mood. So Krishna's pastimes, his activities, they are full of ras. Therefore, one of Krishna's names is different names. Rasamai. He's full of these feelings, exchange. Rasa Parayana. He's very much inclined to exchange these relationships with his devotees. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering free of charge. Free means chant Hare Krishna. This is the only price. With faith. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is prepared to reveal all these different relationships. Of course, here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find, he is mostly, especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, has emphasized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings for Krishna in the mode of separation of Srimati Radharani, which is highly exalted subject matter. Not that we don't discuss, we may discuss, but for us at this stage, almost all of us, unless and until we become so much advanced, it's not possible to understand or enter into that. Even it's described that who can understand what are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understands. Swarup Damodar Goswami, he also understands, because he's almost like a second. He's almost like the same person in another body. Ramananda Rai, Shiki Mahiti, Madhavi Devi, Rupa Goswami, to some extent that is described, Madhavendra Puri. There are some few devotees who have some insight into the feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, not possible for everyone to understand this, even by discussion. So this is very much emphasized in this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also relishing other mellows of devotion. Sometimes he would, just like on the Janmashtami day, he would, his mother, two devotees would dress up as his mother and father, and then he became Krishna and Nityananda became Balaram. So they're playing in the mood of cowherd boys. And Advaita Acharya said, I just want to test. Are you really cowherd boys, or are you just dressed up as cowherd boys? So he gave him, you take this stick and you have to whirl it around. I don't know if you, I don't think you have. Sometimes, maybe someone in this country, there's some, I don't know how they do it. They take a stick and just in their hand, they twirl it round and round, and you can do it above your head and throw it in the air and catch it and again, just with one hand, big long sticks. In India sometimes you see the cowherd boys, that's one of their pastimes. They like to do that. They play on flutes, even today, because the cows are attracted by the flute. That's, if we ask why does Krishna play a flute? Well, one reason is to call the cows, because that's how you call the cows. He also calls the gopis. That's why he plays on a flute. So also the stick, that one Krishna's name is Lagudi, means he knows this art. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda showed this, then Advaita Acharya was, he accepted, all right, now I know you are actually cowherd boys. So other times also you'll see on the Vijayadashami day, that's the celebration of the day, when Ramachandra Bhagavan, he conquered over Lanka. The battle was finished, Ravana was killed. So on that day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also dressed up as Hanuman. And all the devotees, they're all dressed up as monkeys. And they went to attack Lanka, that rascal, Ravana, let's get him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was relishing all the different mellows. He would listen to the Bhagavatam. In his childhood, he very much relished hearing the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, because all these different mellows, they're all rasamoy. It's not only Gopi Lila, there's different Lilas, and they're all full of ecstasy. Therefore, the Supreme Lord takes different forms to reciprocate with his devotees in different moods. And the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, it's stated, Nigama kalpataro galitam phalam shukamukhad amrita drava sanyatam pibata bhagavatam rasanalayam muhura hora sikha bhuvi bhavaka. In the very beginning, it is described that this is a book of rasa. It is a book of, first, before that, it's described, dharma koitava projita atra. In this Srimad Bhagavatam, any kind of non-devotional sentiment, any sentiment which is not fully in the mood of surrender to Krishna, any sentiment which is mixed, vitta bhakti, any sentiment which is mixed with karma, jnana or yoga, that is rejected in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is rejected, then what is established? This Srimad Bhagavatam being the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge, is full of rasa, means the ultimate point of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to re-establish our feelings of loving devotional service for Krishna, being the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. In Vedic knowledge, there are so many departments, and in there, basically divided into departments, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. Bhakti is the ultimate teaching, that is the actual teaching, without which everything, it has no actual meaning. Simply to become a great karmi or jnani or yogi, unless one comes to the point of loving Krishna, then everything is useless waste of time. As is stated also in the beginning of Bhagavatam, dharma svanushtita punsa vishvaksena katasuyaha notpadiya dhyadihritin shrama eva hi kevalam. One may be a very great karmi, jnani or yogi, but if he doesn't come to the point of feeling attraction for Krishna, for the messages of Krishna, then it's all a waste of time. Because even karmis, jnanis and yogis, they may also worship Krishna to some extent. But as long as they're thinking that my goal of life is to enjoy this material world, or even if they're thinking how to get released from this material world, but they're not thinking how to satisfy Krishna. As long as that taste, that feeling for Krishna has not arisen, then the version of the Bhagavad is, it's all a waste of time. Piti viti jato kichu dharma nama chale, Bhagavata kahe taha paripurina chale. Therefore, it is summarized that whatever is being taught in the world, there are so many ideas in the name of religion, but according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is all simply cheating, waste of time. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a book of a rasa. How the cause it is established philosophically, what is the position of God? There's no question of rasa, of feeling, of relationship with Krishna, unless first of all one has to understand that we are the servants of Krishna. He is great, we are small. So this is established. Sometimes we see people, they have the artificial feeling of love for Krishna, artificially trying to demonstrate a intimate relationship with him without going through the stages of surrender to Krishna. This is called sahajya. Those who want to take everything very cheaply. Sahaj means easy. So those who want to take very cheaply or easily Krishna consciousness, they're called sahajya. Because it is well known that Krishna has loving relationships with his devotees. Here we see Krishna is the butter thief. There are other pastimes we have here. Here we have Krishna sitting with Srimati Radharani. So these free exchanges of love with Krishna, these are well known, at least in Indian society, and now throughout the world also. It is known that the goal, the highest goal of life is to enter into the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And in those pastimes, even the devotees, they may rebuke Krishna, they may ride on his shoulders, they may fight with him. Very intimate dealing. So naturally this, when we hear of this, it is attractive. Krishna is all attractive. This is naturally attractive to us because we are all servants of Krishna. But if we're still attracted to the mundane rasa of this material world, then if we artificially try to enter into that highest rasa, then it becomes prakrita rasa. Prakrita means material. We may imagine that we are feeling our relationship with Krishna, but it's imagination only. As long as we are filled up with kam, krodh, lobha, mada, moha, matsarya, these are the six basic defects, lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, madness. As long as these are sitting in our hearts, then if we try to imagine some kind of intimate relationship with Krishna, then it will be imagination only. That's all. First of all, this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the idea. First of all, anartha nivritti. First of all the bad things should be driven out of the heart. Then artha pravritti, entering into what is our actual goal of life, entering into that is possible. It is not possible to enter into an intimate relationship with Krishna as long as all the bad things are in our heart. Therefore, we go through the process of sadhana bhakti for purification, understanding that we are the servants of Krishna. Jivesvarup hoi Krishna nitya das. We are the eternal servants of Krishna. Everyone is the servant. And in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has elaborately analyzed how everyone is a servant of Krishna. Even his father and mother, they feel them. He's quoting from Bhagavatam, in which Nanda Maharaj is saying that I also feel myself to be a servant of Krishna. Hey, how his friends, and even how Srimati Radharani, the topmost servitor who is so intimate with Krishna that she can chastise him in so many ways, most intimate. But she also identifies herself as a maid servant of Krishna. Therefore, this mood of service to Krishna, that is the basic principle. If one is a friend of Krishna, or a parent of Krishna, or a lover of Krishna, but that mood of service is the underlying mood. How is it that a devotee is allowed to become the friend of Krishna, and Krishna will carry him on his shoulders? How is it that one can become in the parental position and chastise Krishna, or feed Krishna, thinking that Krishna, now if you don't come and take my food, then you'll starve. Come here, you have to eat, sit down. How is it that the lovers of Krishna can chastise him in love? Because they're so much fixed up in their mood of service, they've actually forgotten that they're supposed to be servants, being covered by yoga maya. They're so much fixed in the mode of service that their service takes the form of pleasing Krishna in these intimate relationships, because they are 100% solidly fixed in the mode of service. So if one is not solidly fixed in that mode of service, if one is still trying to enjoy his senses in any way, or even if one is trying to get liberation from this material world, but if one is not fully surrendered to Krishna, then any attempt to enter into that intimate pastimes will be imagination only. It's not possible. That is only possible when the yoga maya energy of Krishna allows. Yes, all right. Now you can come. Not artificially. You can't barge your way into the kingdom of God. But now I will go and no one can stop me. No, you can't go anywhere. What will happen is that by imagining yourself to be so much intimate with Krishna, then on one hand, you'll make offenses, thinking that other devotees, they're just following all these principles, they're not very advanced. That one way you'll make offense to Vaishnavas. On the other hand, because one is identifying his sentimental, mundane emotions to be actual spiritual emotions, thinking that he's already on a very high platform, but actually not getting the real taste of Krishna consciousness. He's not getting the real taste because it's an imaginary taste. Therefore, he won't be able to control his senses and he will again become involved in lower taste. That's why we see sahajiyas in India, there's so many sahajiyas in Bengal especially, who simply imagine themselves to be on a very high platform. But even though they may sing very nicely and weep and exhibit so many emotions of advanced devotion, but they can't even stop smoking or drinking tea because they've not gone through the preliminary phases of controlling the senses, controlling the mind. Therefore, this artificial jumping up to a higher level, this is guaranteed that by your jumping, it's like something like a motorcycle stuntman who jumps, there's a canyon, and he jumps over, he doesn't make it. So he falls down and breaks his neck. If you try to jump, like Prabhupada used to say, those who want to go and live at Radha Kund, they're not qualified. Then why do they want to jump over their spiritual master like monkeys? There's the business of monkeys to jump. He said, then you'll become another monkey. There's so many monkeys at Radha Kund, and you may become another one. But actually, those people who did that during Prabhupada's time, they couldn't stay at Radha Kund. They couldn't stay. Because too much strong desire to enjoy the senses, even though they're sitting, chanting all day, taking so many baths, discussing intimate leelas of Radha and Krishna. But they can't maintain it, because they're simply acting on the artificial platform. Therefore, they go from Radha Kund to New York City, and you'll find so many things, and then when you meet them, they say, well, joking. Oh, I think I've done my bit of Krishna consciousness for this lifetime. So where is the love for Krishna? Simply imagination, and then again you end up. Anything, any way you go, unless you follow exactly Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, then even in the name of Krishna consciousness, it may seem like Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, you'll end up completely outside the jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, understanding these matters of Krishna consciousness, how to go through the rasas, has to be done with great caution. Churasya dhara. In the Upanishads, it said that spiritual life, it is just like razor's edge. That if you're shaving, you'll get clean, but if little inattentiveness, cut, blood comes. And if you really, do a bad job, you can cut your throat also. So it's very dangerous. In spiritual life, you're coming in contact with Krishna. So you can make so much advancement coming in contact with Krishna and his devotees. But if you do the wrong thing, then you can also destroy your spiritual life. Therefore, Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpati Yaiva Kalpate. Those who profess to be practicing devotional service but don't strictly follow all the different scriptural procedures as given by the acharyas, It may seem that they're performing devotional service, but actually it's simply a disturbance in society. And we see this in preaching in Bengal especially. We don't have to preach to people, at least the Hindu people, that Krishna is God, you're not this body, all these things. Superficially they know it. What we have to preach is how to be Krishna conscious, not by going to some guru who tells that, yes, I'll come to your village and bless you, but you have to arrange hilsa fish for me to eat. Not by going to a so-called guru who's invented a new incarnation of God. There's so many bogus ideas. It's just clearing away all the bogus ideas. We see, that's the difficult job that Prabhupada he taught. He was telling that it's more difficult actually to preach in India than in the West. Because in the West, people, they don't know anything. So you tell them, Krishna is God, do this, do that. And they say, yes. And whereas in India, they say, well, what about Swami so-and-so? He says this and he says that. And I also know so many things. I watch the Mahabharata on TV and I know everything. I'm a Hindu and I know everything. So they'll bring, well, Swamiji, what about this, what about that? Now, of course, India has come to the West. So we have the same kind of thing. As soon as we start to preach Krishna consciousness, everyone's already, they already know everything. I'm a neo-Hindu and I know everything. So there are so many strange ideas floating around which have got nothing actually to do with Krishna consciousness, but which may appear to be like Krishna consciousness, but the ultimate result is that anyone who follows, they don't make advancement in Krishna consciousness, even though it may appear that they do. And it's simply a disturbance. This very word is used, utpat, simply a disturbance. If it's not exactly in the line of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then even though it may appear to be devotional service, we see in Bengal people, they chant Hare Krishna, they put on tilak, they play madanga, they worship Tulsi, they're doing all the right things apparently, but it's not actually the right thing because they have some wrong idea, and that will be manifest ultimately by them not following the regulative principles even, what to speak of higher stages. They'll be talking all these higher, so-called higher subject matters, but at the same time, they can't even control their smoking. So where is the actual advancement? Therefore, understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this has to be done very carefully, not to be taken cheaply. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, immediately so many upper sampradayas, they invaded. Bogus incarnations of God, bogus interpretations of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying. Therefore, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur first started the revival of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, pointed out to the intellectual people of Bengal that actually these people who purport to represent Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are lecturers, debauchees, they are not actual representatives. Real representatives are the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sampa, the real followers of Rupa Goswami. But practically there were very few, and they were, who were actual devotees at that time, mostly they were Babaji's, cutting themselves off from the world. So the people in general, who did they see as devotees? They saw very low-class people in the name of religion, in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the name of Radha Krishna, making an excuse for debauched behavior. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and he took up the same mission. He had to fight his whole life against all these misrepresentations. Rupa Nogavi Ruddha Pasidhanta Dvanta Harine. He fought against all the wrong ideas which were being propagated in the name of Rupa Goswami, but were actually nothing to do with Rupa Goswami. So now we'll find in Bengal that, at least in Bengal, this idea hardly came, that you cannot be a Hindu. Actually, we didn't want to be Hindus anyway, but they're saying you can't be a Hindu. But at least in Bengal, from the very beginning of our movement there, it was accepted that yes, they can also be Vaishnavas. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur preached so strongly there that a Vaishnava is to be accepted not on the basis of his caste. Of course, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught, that what is that? Krishna bhajane nahi jat kuladi bichar. In Krishna consciousness, there's no consideration of one's caste. Shatkul vipra nahi bhajane yoga. Nicha jati nahi Krishna bhajane ajoga. Shatkul vipra nahi bhajane yoga. Je bhaje she bara bhakti hino cha, Krishna bhaje nahi jat kulanti vicha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established that in Krishna consciousness there's no consideration. You may be from a low caste, that's not an obstacle to your becoming a devotee of Krishna. And you may be from a high caste, but that doesn't give you any particular advantage in understanding Krishna. Whoever takes to Krishna consciousness seriously, that is his qualification. There's no such qualification. I'm from a Brahmin family, I'm from a high caste family. That doesn't help you in the service of Krishna. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, again this got distorted, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fought at the risk of his life, literally. The caste Goswamis who wanted to control the devotional business, that these people shall be our followers. We will get respect from them. More important, we will get money from them. Because they claim themselves to be descendants of Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadha, Narottam. So we are by birth, it is our right to be gurus. So people, they were fooled by that. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at the risk of his life, they wanted to kill him for propagating the truth. That there was actually a plot, they collected money, and they wanted to kill him. They wanted to have professional killers kill him, but the professional killers, they didn't dare to do that. They said, we can kill other people, but not him. We can't kill him. We may go to hell for killing other people, but not the hell, that hell for killing him, we don't want to go to. So he fought against that, and he established this is the actual position. And he also established a very sober approach to Krishna consciousness, because it had been the whole mood that had been propagated was one of this artificial ecstasy. I've seen in Bangladesh, I mean, it's very funny. In one sense it's funny, in another way tragic. How you see these people, how they imitation of advanced devotion. This situation of Krishna consciousness is so sick. Actually, it's improved a lot due to the preaching of our devotees there over many years. But it was so sick that it was considered that to make a show of devotion, that is equivalent to devotion. If one can be a good dramatist, I've seen at the professional, they have professional chanters of Hare Krishna. The groups, just like you have rock groups here. They have these groups. And actually, in the manor this morning, I heard some tape, I don't know who was playing, of one of these Bengali groups, who they make a big, they go around on circuit, and people come to see them. It's like a concert. So they chant Hare Krishna, if you can work out what they're singing, because they chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So you can't hear what they're chanting, actually. So anyway, they do this, and they'll fall on the ground in ecstasy from time to time, and get up, and someone has to lift them up, and then they fall down again. But then they have 2-hour shifts, and if the next group, who's putting on all their makeup and their bells and everything, they're a little late, then they'll just, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, they'll stop the show. 2 hours is up, okay, no more jumping around, no more putting on a show, just Hare Krishna, where? Then the next group will come, and they'll come 10 minutes late, and they'll chastise them. Why are you late? We have 2 hours. Why are they so anxious to go off? Because they've been 2 hours without smoking. They have to, immediately they'll rush off, and someone will come, Biri Seva. You have to serve the Vaishnavas, you have to please them. So these are the great Vaishnavas, and they're pleased by smoking, so bring them a biddy. And they give them biddy. The ecstasy of, after 2 hours separation of not smoking, they're able to smoke. And you'll see, I saw once at one of these, I mean there's so many nonsense things. So I saw at one of these Nam Yagyas, as they're called, Nam Joggo, that someone was coming around putting the chandan paste on the foreheads of all the people who are sitting around enjoying the bhav. So he came and he's just able to do it because he's trembling in ecstasy. He can hardly, he's carrying, he has the little container of chandan and with the flower. So he said, going around like this. So he put it on one of the people in the crowd, some big businessman. They can sit at the front because they're given more money to sponsor the whole rascal event. So he puts, and then the big fat businessman embraces the person who's put it, they embrace. Fishy breath. So then the person who is embraced, when he stops embracing him, then he collapses on the ground, falls flat. Then all the people come around him and fan him, throw some water, and eventually he just kind of wakes up and they stand him up, and then again he falls down. Such rascaldom, it's all just a big show. This is the diseased condition, how they become so diseased by artificially going up to higher levels of, artificially trying to imitate higher levels of devotion. The whole atmosphere is so diseased that people think that what is our Vaishnava religion, if you make a show, that is actual devotion. How you are judged as a Vaishnava, the whole thing is you have to show to others that you are a great devotee. Some people are also becoming devotees. They see that. So they think, all right, so I should also become a devotee. This is our culture. We're already devotees. Let's become enthusiastic about Krishna Bhakti. So let's become enthusiastic about Krishna Bhakti. What does that mean? What should we do? Cry, fall on the ground with artificial tears and go to some false guru and take initiation from him, and by his mercy only, that's all. No sadhana, no practice, no following regulated principles. Only by his mercy you'll get Krishna prema. So this is all cheating. Therefore, Bhakti Sanskara Thakur, he presented Krishna consciousness very soberly. Those professional groups, as talking about, they have mridanga cartels. They're very expert in singing and playing, very expert. They also have a harmonium strapped around their neck, and usually have a violin because that adds some pathos to the mood, and a flute. And recently they started introducing girl dancers also. Bhakti Sanskara Thakur, he introduced in the kirtan mridanga cartels. That's all. We don't need your whole concert. We'll have mridanga and cartel. Very soberly practiced, and very, he would speak in a very scholarly, philosophical way. Even though he was undoubtedly on the highest standard of devotion himself, but just so people wouldn't take him cheaply, because the tendency is when people are trained or they're brought up in such an atmosphere, they have a very strong tendency to take it very cheaply. Oh, he's a devotee. Okay, let's get some dust from his feet. Dust, that's all. That's all you have to do. Tendency to take things cheaply. So we see all over the world how religion becomes crippled, that people, they want to take it cheaply, just like the same thing. Only by Jesus' mercy. All you have to do is believe in him and you are saved. Unless you have your soul washed in the blood of Jesus, which I never understood what that meant exactly, but anyway, you only have to have, there are some Christians who believe or purport to believe that only by faith in, there's the discussion, the path of faith and the path of works. So those who follow the path of faith, they're very strong to say that not by your own efforts can you become Christian, but you just have to have faith in Jesus. Jesus came to deliver us because we're sinners. I'm a sinner. Therefore, Jesus will save me. He knows my heart. He knows I can't stop sinning. So I'll go on sinning. Prabhupada condemned this. If you believe in Jesus, that's very nice. But why don't you stop sinning? Why do you want to go on crucifying him? So this is a great philosophical discussion, the path of faith and the path of works. But both factors are there. Is it by our own endeavors or by God's mercy that we become released from material bondage and awarded with love of God? Both factors are there. Ultimately, without the mercy of Krishna, we can't make any advancement whatsoever. But that advancement doesn't come just from saying, I believe in God. You have to demonstrate that also. You have to act in such a way that he will be pleased. It's not simply enough to say, I love you. You have to demonstrate that by your activities also. Just like that example, it's not enough just to say you love. but you have to actually demonstrate it in your activities. That one lady, she was very much loving her husband, lip service. So when he came home from work, she said to him, "Darling, I love you, I love you, I love you. All day I've simply been thinking about you. I'm so happy to see you, you've come back." I said, "Oh, that's very nice. You love me so much. So, could I have my meal now?" He said, "Well, I was busy all day loving you, thinking about you. I didn't have time to cook anything for you." So, where is the love? It's easy to say, "I love you," but that has to be demonstrated by practical activity. So both things are there. How to understand these points? What is the actual way to approach God? Therefore, we have to go through the system given by the acharyas, who know exactly what is the correct way to present Krishna consciousness to the candidates in question. Actually, we see, even if we see the descriptions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, sometimes he would take chanting parties out in Bengal, and they would be falling on the ground in ecstasy, and all these symptoms are described. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he warned, he gave Krishna consciousness very soberly, and Srila Prabhupada also, following exactly in his footsteps, he presented Krishna consciousness, not dry, not just some academic subject, but definitely full of feeling, but at the same time, nothing artificial. So how to balance these two things? Definitely the whole point of Krishna consciousness is to develop our feeling for Krishna. It's not that we want to become like mechanical machines, and if we have any feeling for Krishna, stop it. Don't feel anything. Wait till you're self-realized. Then you become stone-hearted Mayavadi. From the very beginning, the process of Krishna consciousness is meant to revive our dormant feelings for Krishna. Here we have Sri Sri Radha Landanishwar, who are very mercifully here to accept our service. So when we offer something to Krishna with devotion, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatman, we're supposed to offer leaf, flower, fruit, water, and so many other wonderful things offered to Radha Landanishwar with devotion, with feeling. And Krishna wants that feeling will be awakened in our hearts. That's described in Nectar of Devotion. There are so many stimuli, udipan, for feelings for Krishna. This is particularly for those who are already in the liberated stage, but even those who are on the way to be fully Krishna conscious, simply by seeing Krishna, simply by cooking for Krishna, doing some service for Krishna, distributing books for Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, seeing the devotees of Krishna. These are all stimuli for remembrance of Krishna and for inciting our transcendental loving feelings for Krishna. So it's not that it's simply a dry process, not at all, not at all. Definitely Krishna consciousness is meant to arouse our feelings, and what someone who is even a little bit simple and pure in heart, even if they know nothing about Krishna, if they simply come in contact with Krishna, they'll appreciate, what is this nice chanting? Who are these bright-faced people? What are these beautiful forms of the Lord in the temple? If they come to the temple, they'll begin to appreciate, and their feelings for Krishna will start to arise. So those feelings, it's not that they're artificial, they're actual feelings for Krishna. And I'm sure all of our devotees have experienced at different times, even strongly, feelings for Krishna, at least strongly according to our perspective. Just one time one devotee said to Prabhupada how he was feeling ecstasy. And Prabhupada said, "You don't know what ecstasy is." So from our situation where no ecstasy, we've had no ecstasy, millions and millions of lifetimes, now when we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, definitely, even the very beginning devotee, by chanting, by seeing the forms of the Lord, by serving Krishna, their feelings for Krishna are aroused. And those feelings, they're so wonderful that anyone who has even a little feeling for Krishna, then they feel indifferent to the material world. And people can, all the attempts they've been making in this life and for millions of lifetimes to be happy in this material world, that seems just insignificant in comparison to the even the very neophyte devotee's feelings for Krishna. So those feelings we want to develop, and ultimately develop more and more and more till there's nothing but feeling for Krishna. Just like so many different devotees out there. Here's just called Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala, Shinga. In Dasya Ras, devotees like Hanuman. In Sakya Ras, devotees like Arjuna. In Vatsala Ras, devotees like Nanda Maharaj, like Yashoda, Devaki, Vasudev. In Shinga, the gopis, the queens, in Dwarka, all, they're all having these full-fledged feelings which overwhelm their hearts at every moment, that sometimes we may have some feelings. Krishna may reward us with some strong feelings, or from our perspective, strong feelings of gratefulness to Krishna, or whatever form it takes. But this, whatever that we may experience, now we should know that Krishna consciousness means to fully uncover those. It's still a little, it's just like we're in the darkness. We're in the darkness. Our heart's being covered by lust, greed, anger, all these bad things, material attachments, false ego, false pride. A little sunlight comes through. Little sunlight comes through the cloud on a cloudy day. But when the cloud is completely cleared and there is a strong sun shining brightly, that is the situation we want to be, where there's no more clouds of material desires, material attachments, but only the strong sunshine of Krishna consciousness flowing through. So that is pure, that is the state of a pure devotee, where it's not that time to time they have some feelings for Krishna, but all the time their heart is simply flooded and overwhelmed with feelings for Krishna. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to experience personally, to relish the nectar of devotion, and to distribute that also to everybody. Most amazing that who is the most unqualified, they can become qualified simply by accepting the process of devotional service given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That this we have to approach very carefully, very properly, within the parampara system, lest we, in the name of following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we adopt something which is not actually in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is not actually pleasing to him. So this we have to see. And it's not a very difficult thing to do. If we simply follow in the footsteps, follow the instructions, as given to us by Srila Prabhupada, very simple thing, the things that Prabhupada gave us to do, are very simple. If we simply follow that, we'll be in the right path. If we follow what Prabhupada has given us, then certainly gradually our all the bad things in our heart will be cleansed away, and pure devotional service to Krishna will be revealed. Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment?
Aaron says, this about these, how these evangelical Christians and stuff, and they have this great show of, you know, real faith and love of God and all this. And then, so people, they get confused, you know, because they see, Krishna conscious love, you know, which say for me happens occasionally, you know, and then this great, and then this love of coming from evangelical Christians, and they get really confused about that.
No, actually, I was saying in the class, I was saying that sometimes we have Krishna reveals to us a little glimpse of ecstasy, but actually, anyone who's serving Krishna, who's surrendered their life to Krishna. Surrender their life means we may not be fully surrendered, but our life is surrendered towards that ideal. Then it's not that there's no feelings, and it's just at a short time, but actually all the time devotees are feeling for Krishna. Otherwise, how can we go on serving Krishna? The feeling is there, although sometimes it becomes more manifest and sometimes less so. Otherwise, as Prabhupada used to say, unless we're feeling happiness, how can we go on with this? Definitely the feeling for Krishna is there. That will be manifest in our activities. That someone who's always enthusiastic to serve Krishna, then that means feeling is there. Otherwise, what are we getting? We're not getting sense gratification. We're not getting. We don't have holidays, or we go to a cinema or something. Just the reward we're getting is the service itself. So, of course, Prabhupada used to say about Christians, he would say that if you love Jesus, then why don't you follow what he said? He always throw the challenge to them. You're sitting next to Rancho Prabhu, who is a, he's a, it's your, one of your lines of speciality, isn't it? It's preaching among Christians. Yeah, I just read something you had written. So if you want to discuss this in detail, you can discuss with them.
Maybe find it hard to preach amongst or to associate with people in other religions. I feel that if I'm associating with people in other, following other religious paths, in order to be in order to be able to communicate with them, I have to feel something positive about them.
Mm.
I can't just think to myself, these people are all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're all envious.
Mm.
Some of the others have seen good times. I find that it doesn't give me much of a platform to be heard by.
Mm-hmm. So if you want more detail, discussion, you see Raja Prabhu. Can you say something more?
Well,
mm-hmm.
I feel like we, Krishna consciousness is something which is very special.
Mm.
You know, we have been somehow called upon, if we wish, to represent Krishna consciousness to the people around us. In order for them to hear us, in order for them to hear me,
mm.
I know people need to feel that I'm willing to also respect whatever is good in them.
Mm.
If they feel that I'm coming to condemn them, I don't think they're going to hear me. I heard that if I come to condemn them, they should move.
In my lecture here.
Yeah.
Made
me feel uncomfortable.
Hmm.
I feel it seemed like you were expressing a lot of frustration.
Frustration, yes, in that when we're preaching, there is much confusion. People are confused by different ideas, which are actually, yeah, actually, I do in preaching. I do feel a lot of frustration that people are misled and confused by different things. So, Krishna consciousness also, at least among ourselves, to understand what is the correct line and what is not, what is actually Krishna consciousness and what isn't. At least among ourselves, of course, if we're preaching to general public, we may not express in the same way the same thing. Didn't make communication.
I need to say that yogis and bhaktas are all Krishna loves bhaktas, but then Krishna bhaktas is always disturbed or unhappy, and they have to. Like even all around the world, they have to walk outside and all this thing. While all the yogis are there, glorified all over the world. Why is that?
I can't understand what the question is.
Krishna bhakta,
mm-hmm.
they do all the devotional activities.
Mm-hmm.
Still, they are sometimes like unhappy. They have to go outside to get the job and all this mm-hmm. sort of thing. While the yogis, they are glorified all over the world.
Well, yogi means renunciate, so he doesn't do a job. Whereas a devotee may be doing a job to, as a householder to maintain his family. I still don't exactly understand the question. Generally, people will think a yogi is better, just like we see the incident between Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Durvasa Muni, in the eyes of practically everybody, including himself, was in a better position than Ambarish Maharaj, who, after all, he wasn't a Brahmin, he wasn't a renunciate, he didn't perform all the different sadhanas, all the different practices that the yogi did. But Krishna reigned to show that actually Ambarish Maharaj was spiritually better situated, even though he may not have been praised in the world as Durvasa Muni was. Of course, a devotee doesn't want to be glorified either. But generally in the world, worldly people, they will glorify other worldly people. Who is praised in the world nowadays? Politicians, sports stars, rock stars. These people are praised. Someone who dedicates their life to the service of God, they're generally considered to be not in a proper mental frame of mind. Far from being praised, if they can simply even be accepted as a sane human being. So that is the diseased condition of society. Previously it wasn't so much like that, because there were, in different cultures of the world, even now in many cultures of the world, someone who's saintly, who's dedicated their life to God, who's very interested, who takes great interest in these things, they're considered to be a very respectable person in the less modernized cultures of the world. But even in very pious cultures, you'll find that people who want to go on the path of understanding God, they're often opposed by their, or misunderstood by their friends, relatives, and others. That famous example in the Western world is Francis of Assisi, who, he came from a respectable family, who in a country which is even now to some extent, and I'm sure much more in those days, was known as being a very religious country. But when he wanted to become fully dedicated to the cause of God, then he had to undergo a lot of opposition from his family members, who no doubt they also believed in God, but they didn't want him to believe in God that much. You see, Raghunath Das also, his father and uncle were very pious people, and they were Vaishnavas, but they didn't want Raghunath Das to become a Vaishnava that much. And we see also many times in Indian families, the family members are very pious, and they also like Krishna consciousness, but if their son wants to fully dedicate himself to the service of Krishna, then they don't like it. It's maybe a little off the point. Anyway, another question?
Right. So, folks, can you actually recognize when another devotee is experiencing any of these rasas?
No, you may not be able to tell, because who is actually on an advanced platform, he doesn't demonstrate that publicly. Lord Chaitanya has described that even if one is highly advanced, he'll continue to follow all the regulated principles like a neophyte devotee. So, of course, you can see who's actually advanced. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that devotee is recognized by how many Vaishnavas he can make. He gave that test. There are different standards by which we can see who is advanced. Just recently I was hearing, or I read, Prabhupada was saying that anyone who accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is advanced. So, how much we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it may be theoretical. And for others, it's full acceptance. And there are other Nidrahara Viharakadi Vijito, who is overcome eating and sleeping. There are different ways in which advancement can be seen, but it may It may there are many different sense that who is Madhyamadhikari, Kanishadhikari, Uttamadhikari. Symptoms are given in the scriptures, so we can judge according to this. But who is, as far as experiencing these mellows with Krishna, a devotee in this world, they won't advertise that. Generally, they won't advertise. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur, they were known to be such great devotees who had their relationship with Krishna. Their position in Krishna Leela in Vrindavan, eternal Vrindavan, it was known, but they didn't advertise that or speak about that. Just it was known, that's all. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.